You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. One of the listeners got me the Bishop Weaselberger statement. Let's see what he got here. I stand in solidarity with the U.S. Catholic. Our faith calls for love and care for both preborn children and their mother. Oh, look at you. And then he has the U.S. So basically he says whatever the U.S. Catholic Conference of Bishops says, he's cool with. So he's a visionary leader. He's a canon lawyer who fell back asswards into a bishop seat. That's where he's at. That's why talking to him is like talking to watching paint dry. It's just like, wow. Anyway, thank you. Thank you, Todd. Listener Todd, for sending me that. I appreciate it.
It's helpful.
It's very helpful. All right. Let's take a small break from the Dobbs case because I got to get to this one. So our lead guy... Bill number two, who of course is our lead data analyst, as we like to say here at the Wake Up Tucson show, sends me the copy of Little Timmy's political notebook. Now, remember the political notebook used to have multiple contributors to it? Now it's only Tim. Because one, Tim needs something to do, right? And no one else works there anymore. All right? It's like, you know, even again, little Sammy Kamax, even up in Phoenix right now, working at the Republic. So staying one little length ahead away from where newspapers are going. So we have the eight, and wait till Bill Beard calls about 7:45-ish about the his experience at the Pima County mock election. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll kiss 17 minutes goodbye, as we like to say. Now, so we have, let's see what we got here. Here we go. CD6 candidates clash. Now, Tim Steller always whines about Republican debates that are closed to the public and the press, right? We have, unfortunately, it was closed to the public and not recorded. Bill Maynard, president of the Northwest Republican Association, said the ground rules included no news media allowed, no recordings, no transcripts. So whenever you hear crybabies from the newspaper cry about a purely partisan, this isn't the one that the general public's going to be voting on. Right? And they say, oh, why are they having that without us? Right? Why can't the public go? So the answer came back from one of my people at the Northwest Republican Association to that answer. The answer to that question is, or that crying is, hey, Tim, you work for the paper of record. You know what you do? Have your own damn debate. Right? They do forums in the general all the time, right? Remember, they all go to the office. Well, they sold it now, but they'd make all the people walk through the giant empty building and go to a conference room, and they would record that. So go do that, Tim. Stop crying like a little, you know what? You guys have done it a zillion times before. If you really wanted to do a televised open to the media, right? Go get blue check Nintzels out of a job. He could do something for you, right? And go have it, right? Where's the Arizona public media people? I know the 12-year-olds that run that place don't even know who's running in the primary. But let's get to one of the people complaining, Brandon Martin. Now, Brandon Martin, the reason this thing even happened was Brandon Martin, in a good way. Last time Brandon was on the show, we were talking about debates, right? And I said, you know, I go, have you guys had one with all five of you, blah, blah, blah. And he says, you know, we haven't. We had this one at PBS up in Phoenix, right? But it was only three of them, blah, 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 whatever. Okay. So what do we do? So I reach out to Bill Maynard and the good crew at the Northwest Republican Association. They said they'd like to do it. And so we get going, right? We work out all the dates with all the candidates. That was the date that worked for everybody. We got a great place like Stardance to do it in. It's in the district. All of that good stuff. It was professionally run by these good people. We asked the questions of... This is the... Now remember, I didn't write the questions, right? If I pick questions out and you saw me put one back in because they asked the same question. Or it was someone who did multiple questions and I wanted to get other questions from a variety of the people. I didn't want to ask 10 questions of the same person. So when I picked the questions out, I tried to get a good cross-section of questions from the members and I didn't want to ask the same damn question. But literally, I didn't know any of the questions until I picked it out of the basket. Right? And that's what I told Bill. I said, look, this is great. You're going to ask your members. This is your debate. Right? I'll be the professional big mouth and do it. I had a great team with Lori and Jen next to me. Jen was amazing on the timer and they had a nice job. They were, you know, they did beverages. They did the whole thing. It was a professionally done event. Okay. And what happened was Brandon was doing pretty good. I thought him and Juan were the the other ones is Kathleen Wynn definitely was the weakest. You could tell she was looking at her phone trying to answer questions. Which was said, okay? I thought Young did a nice job. Lucretia did a nice job. But in relation to kind of energy and engagement, I thought Brandon and Juan were neck and neck. And Brandon was doing a nice job from the, you know, he was, you know, he's I'm a constitutionalist, I'm conservative, and he was bringing it with a little fire in the belly. It was just enough, right? So then at the end, we had a thing where they would randomly pick a card out of my hand, right? That basically they would get to answer one person a question. And that's where Brandon lost everybody because he got to ask Young Mayberry a question and Young picked Siskamani. So at that point, his question to Young Mayberry was, why don't you ask Juan Siskamani about blah, 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 right? And Young Mayberry didn't bite on it and he just answered the question without doing this. It was like something from a sitcom where there's two people not talking to each other, so they start having that conversation. Can you ask blah, 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 even though they're standing right there, right? And then Juan said, hey, can I rebut? I just want to get this out. Where he talked about in college as 19 years old, he was placed with Loretta Sanchez, who was a Democrat legislator. And then when he says, I was Republican when I came out. I was even more Republican when I came out. And that's where I met my wife, so everyone can kiss my butt. That I basically was doing this when I was 19, right? In a nicer way than I just said, right? And so you could see that I get it. So Brandon, and I get it, right? You don't want to lose a third time, right? Juan's got you outgunned money-wise. And you know something? Juan's a really good candidate, right? He's directly talking to people way better than... remember, it's the idea, we have these things where is there a candidate can get the money and appeal and talk to people, right? And get them invested. And Juan seems to be one of those, right? Martha McSally, she got the money, horrible candidate. Leah Marquez Peterson got the money, horrible candidate, right? Brandon has the fire in the belly, but he can't raise money. Oh, and Kathleen Wynn seems to be having a little more love on the hard right regulator side than he does. I got it. So he's got to try something. But you know something? When you run to little Timmy Steller, and this is what we got here. He says, Brandon Martin noted that he and all the other candidates, but Ciscomani showed up for a debate. I don't think Lucretia showed up for that debate either, the one in the PBS one. So I don't think that sounds right, all the other, but okay. But this debate would only be accessible to the relative few. I love that one. The relative few who attended. Dude, we got 225 on a Monday night. Kiss my grits. Okay. But here's the quote from Martin. It was a sham, comma, it was a setup. So all of you Northwest Republican Association people who worked on that, right? According to Martin, Brandon Martin, you all participated in a sham and a setup. So when we keep talking about, you'll hear bill number one, and I always have it right. Winning an election is about addition, not subtraction. And there were people who went in there who were leaning Martin, who walked away from Martin that night and went home with a Ciscomani sign. A friend of mine who wanted me to ask the question, he got me thinking about that question, will you actively campaign for the winner of the primary? He was a Brandon Martin fan. And then when Brandon farted on that question when I asked him, he texted me later, he goes, I guess I'm voting Ciscomani, and I'll send him a check. So that's where we're at. So I get it. Brandon's feeling desperate at the end. Kathleen Wynne ruins it for him, especially because she occupies that hard right part of the party and splits his vote. Right? If you believe Juan's the establishment guy and you don't want to vote for him, you're either going to vote for Brandon or Kathleen. So I get it. Brandon's desperate. And so after he screwed up, I thought he went a little off at the end of the CD6 debate a week ago. For him to come out and cry, of all people, right? Instead of going to Bill Maynard or somebody and say, hey, dude, I thought this was bullcrap. He runs to the worst Republican, the Republican-hating little weenie of weenies, Tim Steller, to cry about how all the work that we all put in, all of your Republicans who busted their butt and volunteered to put that thing on, you participated in a sham and a setup. Well, Brandon, hopefully you'll be the next constipator. You can be at the next constipator meeting and talk to them, and you guys can keep yelling to each other about how everyone else sucks. I'm sure that'll get you over the line. So, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice, local news and talk. Dan says that Lucretia was at the PBS one. I apologize. So that's true. Everyone but Juan showed up to the PBS one that no one down here actually saw ever. So that's the other part, right? The one they did in PBS that they're talking about, oh, they did that. Well, why isn't our PBS doing it? No one down here saw why would that be the standard? Oh, we went to Phoenix and did one. Phoenix is not even in the freaking district. But the U of A, with 40, 50% of our tax dollars are paying for that Arizona public media. Could you guys get off your tail and do something? Come on. Brandon, God bless you. Wake up, Tucson. Oh, this is my college days here, man. I had a roommate my senior year. Known him for a few years before that, but he had every hair metal ever. So this is like Tesla when he woke up in the morning brushing his teeth was Tesla. Woo! A lot of folks weighing in on my rant about Brandon Martin crying to little Timmy that the CD6 was a sham. What do we got here? We got John Holden. Every time Brandon run, he refuses to support whoever wins the primary. Same this time. Dan down in the GV. Great question. Why Phoenix? Why is that the only place that seems to be able we can get a CD6? It makes no sense, right? Let's see. Hey, we get one down. We get done. I get one done with the Northwest Republican Association, and he does great until the end, and now it's a sham and a setup. Right? Phil Eastside. Man, I'm so sad to hear this stuff about Brandon. I'm disappointed in him. Just wow. And then Noah says, let's see, our friend Noah down in the Suarita. few radio interviews, almost, this is about Juan, almost never president in Southern Arizona. Then he has problems with his Ducita. Juan still needs to be more present here. So my question to him was, where are you hearing Juan that the other candidates are? And he, like, you're not hearing Juan on, but you're hearing the other candidates on. Where, if it's on the other guy's show, he hates Juan. He goes after Juan. He won't even let Juan on the show. Yeah, he doesn't let the weenie on the other show. He doesn't let anyone who he disagrees with come on the show. So that's where you're at. So if hopefully that's not the standard. Jen, my timekeeper, just gave me a little heads up. High school football coach scores big win at Supreme Court over post-game prayer. This is Ron Blitzer. The Supreme Court handed a big win to former Washington high school coach who lost his job over reciting a prayer on the 50-yard line after game. At issue is whether the public school employee praying alone, but in view of students. So think about that, right? He was praying by himself on the 50-yard line, but in view of students. Right? You could wear your, you know, your, if you were, you could, if you were, you can wear your vagina hat on your head or whatever you want and all this other stuff. That's okay. But this guy, this dude wants to pray quietly at the 50 yard line and they can him. Quote, this is Neil Gorsuch wrote the court's opinion. Quote, here a government entity sought to punish an individual for engaging in a brief, quiet, personal religious observance doubly protected by free exercise and free speech clauses of the First Amendment. And only meaningful justification of the government offered for its reprisal rested on the mistaken view that it had a duty to ferret out and oppress. Religious observances, even as it allows comparable secular speech. The Constitution neither mandates or tolerates that kind of discrimination. Joe Kennedy was a junior varsity head coach and varsity assistant coach at Bremerton School District from 08 to 15. He began the practice of reciting a post-game prayer by himself, but the students eventually started joining him.
Can't have that.
After an opposing coach brought it to the principal's attention. Did he pull a Brandon Martin and whine to the... Oh, I'm sorry. Did I just say that? Anyway, congratulations to Coach Kennedy. And I like Kagan in her arguments was worried that it could have a coercive effect on the students. She also expressed concern that the coach determines the players' playing time. Somehow if they didn't naturally come to go pray with him, she was going to cut their, he was going to cut their minutes. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 of the voice.
The Tramps.
Woo! Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 of the voice. Local news and talk. When you go tattle to somebody instead of talking to them directly, that's called a "Let's go Brandon" moment. Oh, that's a different "Let's go Brandon." I'm sorry. 7:34 in the morning. Let's go to William Beard. William Beard, good morning, sir.
Good morning. I'm just curious. Was the choice of intro music there intentional in relation to the four members of the board majority wanting things to burn?
Well, I think it was. I was thinking. Well, actually, you know, if I was going to make I was thinking of the that Bill Vex disco night where he burned all the disco records on the field, and it was kind of a train wreck. That's. I'm trying to think. That might be related to your experience at the mock election. So. Wakey's, if you were here Thursday, Shelly Kice said she gave us a little heads up that there was going to be a mock election. to show you how the new ebooks work, because remember, we're reducing the amount of precincts, and you can go to anywhere you want. And they got magic print. Well, they only have one magic printer so far. None of the other ones are here yet. Okay. So they did a mock election, and our favorite election masochist, Bill Beard, went over there to go through a mock vote. So Bill, tell us about the mocking. How did it go?
Well, a little preface to all this, because we want to make sure we understand what Pima County Elections Department was attempting to do with their process last Friday. Go back a few months to when Pima County Board of Supervisors were promoting this whole idea of going to the vote centers, getting away from precinct voting. It was going to basically speed the process, expedite anybody at any time in any part of Pima County. They would go to one of these locations, didn't matter where they live, they produce their ID, they get in and out, voting will be easy, quick, no problems. If we remember from the 2020 election, and I'm trying to be nonpartisan when I say this, whether you were a Republican, Democrat, Independent, or whatever you want to call yourself, one of the big things that was true about 2020, and if you've been paying attention to elections for a long time, one of the problems has always been in Arizona is we have a significant number of provisional ballots that are voted on by voters, and they take time to process after election day because somebody has to verify that they actually live where they say they live. Maybe they didn't have their right ID. They had moved since the last time they voted, so their voter registration wasn't updated. All of the technical kind of things that can slow down the whole process of tabulating. Most people that go to vote in the past that had to vote provisional, as long as they provided the correct information in terms of their identification, proved they lived where they say they lived, those provisional ballots would be processed, tabulated, and they were a legal vote and added to whatever vote totals were processed. But it was always a slow process because it can take up to a week for the recorder's office to process those things and then get them back to the elections department for processing.
Well, and that's a recorder's office that's been around and knew what they were doing, what's taking a week. Now,
this is true.
A couple of questions before you get going through what you went through on Friday. How many of the elected Board of Supervisors were present at the mock election?
Of the four members of the majority that were the biggest cheerleaders for this whole process, zero.
Okay. Now, this being a mock election with a brand new system, right? A very important election. They keep telling us how important elections are, right? Constance, our new elections director. So tell me, for how long was Constance? Was she there for the entire time, Constance Hargrove, the elections director?
She was unavoidably detained. She, according to the people that were there, was interviewing to fully staff the election department for the election that will be coming around in.
Now, so Constance Hargrove, in this very important mock election, was not there at all.
Correct.
All right. So Cazares Kelly, who is our new recorder who knows nothing about elections, okay, except that Republicans steal them or something.
By her own admission.
Was she?
When she was running, she basically said that. 2 years ago.
So what I want to know, because if Constance Hargrove, the elections director, wasn't there, then the new recorder, Cazares Kelly, had to be there, right?
She was there,
oh,
and
good.
I would remind folks number one, the recorder under statutory authority will have nothing to do with what goes on at vote centers other than processing paperwork after the fact for any voter that has questionable whatever and has to file
but,
a provisional
and forcing
ballot.
Them down our throat.
Well, and forcing them down our throat. But also the ebooks is part of her thing, though, right?
Yes, it is. Now, think about this a minute. Would it be PR-wise, a good thing, bad thing, whatever, for the existing recorder to go to this mock election and have difficulty going through this process based on the information that her office provides?
You would hope that they would want to observe what happened.
Was she
in person?
Was she there for the whole thing?
She was there, but she was in and out quickly, and I don't even think the media even had a chance to talk to her. I've read several reports, and none of them quoted her, so I don't know.
They were too busy talking to Mark Evans, who was there.
I guess so.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Yeah. And to that point, I want folks to think about this. You have this brand new production from people that essentially this is their first time out there in the big leagues, trying to put on this brand new production like a Broadway play or a musical or whatever, and they've sent it out for out of town tryouts, if you will, and essentially all of the lead actors are out sick or whatever. The director of the play was unavailable for comment and wasn't there, and all of the producers were out of town. And that's essentially what happened on Friday, and it gets better from there.
All right, so walk us through Bill's mock election process. What happened to you?
Okay, I got there about 10 minutes before 9 o'clock, and they were going to open the doors at 9. Couple minutes after 9 o'clock, a gentleman comes out, said he was the one that was, you know, kind of running things that day. I don't even remember his name. I've never seen him before. But he says, we'll get started with you shortly, but you're going to come in three at a time. Well, if you're trying to demonstrate things to the public, I don't know how three at a time is going to show the public much, but putting that aside, you get to the door and you're greeted by an inspector and a marshal, as would be the case in any polling location in the past in Pima County. And all of them historically have a little name badge that they've got inspector on the badge or marshal. At the door, the gentleman playing the role of marshal has the name tag kind of not so neatly printed on there, and it's not Marshall. It's Mashal, M-A-S-H-A-L-L. Now, this is a minor thing, but
signpost ahead.
I got in, produced my valid driver's license from Arizona. Now, since the 2018 election, my driver's license address has changed, admittedly. They were using the 2018 database because for some reason using the current database wasn't going to allow them to do whatever. That was never explained, but set that aside for the moment. I produced my ID. It took about 20 minutes of back and forthing for them to actually figure out that the database that they were using wasn't going to allow me to vote a traditional ballot. They were going to send me over to the special conditions table. Before they did that, they did have me verify my address, etc. They flipped the pad toward me like you would at a restaurant or whatnot, so you can sign, put your signature on there, etc. And the gentleman tries to get it to go to the printer because it's a ballot on demand system where so that they can save paper and efficiency and everything else. They will only print out the ballots necessary for all the voters that show up and not have a whole bunch of extra ballots just hanging around for whatever reason. I was able to see as he kept trying to get it to print, it kept sending him a message on his screen that I had already voted. Now, this was a brand new mock election, and no one would have voted either by early ballots, early voting or anything like that. Those people that showed up using their valid ID should not have already voted, but the system was telling the worker for the elections department that I had already voted. Well,
sorry.
I know. I'm trying not to laugh, and you and I are very fond of the phrase, you can't make this stuff up. So I get over to the special conditions table. Now, I have...
Also known as the Group W bench.
Thank you. The problem is, and I refer back to the comment I made a few minutes ago about the whole purpose of going to the vote centers was they were essentially going to eliminate the need for provisional ballots because there really wasn't the wrong place for you to show up and have to vote a provisional ballot.
Correct.
You were going to get the correct ballot printed out for you and be processed accordingly. A little side note. After the mock election on Friday, Mr. Evans and the PR department at Pima County sent out a press release that basically said, Pima County Elections conducted a mock election. Over 70 people were present, and the overwhelming majority of people were in and out in a timely, efficient manner, and there were no real problems.
Hold on, I gotta let's go to Matt Neely, who's going to read you the exact headline of that press release.
Yeah, thank you.
From Ministry of Truth says mock election a success.
County will hold a second. So they're calling the mock election a success, right? KVOA bid on it like a bunch of chumps, right? If you read the KVOA one, you're not the only one who had problems.
They referred to your problems as a bit of a hiccup.
And you're teeing up the fundamental problem. The whole purpose of a special conditions table, and they have been around for many, many years. It is the place where when you show up on election day to vote, and there is any problem, either the system isn't working right, maybe in the old days when you had the paper poll roster, you had been sent an early ballot, but you didn't actually vote it. There is something in the system that is set up from the beginning that you are an exception to the rule, so you go to the special conditions table. And as I said earlier, the vast majority of people that went to the special conditions table that voted a provisional ballot, as long as they eventually provided their identification, their bona fides for living at such and such an address, the ballot was processed and everything was fine. By their own admission, they were essentially, by this new process, going to eliminate the need for this special conditions table. Under law, they still have to have it, because there's always going to be that one person that shows up that, they don't live in Pima County, they're not registered to vote, but under federal law, you have to give them the ballot, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm watching the rest of the room. I'm sent over to the special conditions table. As you noted, I wasn't the only one. I counted roughly 20-plus people that during the hour and 15 minutes that I was in the room that had to use the special conditions table. Now, doing the math of, and I'm just going to round it to 20, and they said over 70, but I'm going to round it to 70 because I saw over 20, and I'm going to use 20. If you have a failure rate of your system that is supposed to eliminate provisional ballots from this whole election process, 2 out of 7 is a failure rate of monumental proportions. And I want folks to think about this for just one minute.
29%.
Thank you. Every single person that has to vote a provisional ballot, it is not something that just takes a couple of minutes to do. It requires Pima County Election Department workers at that vote center to call the recorder's office, get somebody on the line, spend several minutes verifying the person is legitimate, what the address, according to the recorder, they should be given a ballot to vote in the jurisdictions. And think about it a second. You're not just voting for Senate and governor and all the other stuff. If you live on one side of the street, you're given a ballot to vote in this legislative district, this water district, this school district, as opposed to people that live on the other side of the street, given those lower ballot things. And those things have a direct consequence to what type of ballot you're going to be given.
So classic Pima County, we had possibly a 20% failure rate. And I have these people calling it a success. Well, 30% failure rate, and these people are calling it a success. Is that what I'm hearing? Thank you.
The special conditions table has two people working. If you've got a roughly 30% failure rate, and every single voter that shows up at one of these vote centers has to go over to this, 30% of them have to go over to the special conditions table, on average, and it took me 25 minutes to go through the process, and I'm fairly versed on what should and shouldn't go on at that special conditions table. On average, you are going to see each and every one of those people that are forced to use the special conditions table to spend anywhere from 15 to 30 plus minutes just to get their ballot so they can vote, and then they come back and have to fill out a special envelope that's, you know, you get the carbon copy of it, that where you put your name, your address, all of your identifying information that you can, place that ballot in that envelope and go put it in a special box as opposed to the regular dumb ballot gray box that Pima County's been using.
All right, Bill, hold that thought for a sec. I want to come back. I want to talk about your talking to the press, Mark Evans, and then what they rescheduled when we come back. So hold on. Bill Beard's telling us about his not so great or successful experience going through the Pima County mock election. And they are under, they have none of these printers. All right. According to my, what, early ballots go out right after 4th of July. And they don't even have their printers yet. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk.
Something in the air, Thunderclap Newman.
All right. Before this show's over, we'll make fun of Steve Kozachik, too, speaking before he probably should have about how he's going to turn the city's going to turn the Pasquayaki Nation Island over there on Oracle and Grant into an abortion oasis. Sounds like he didn't talk to anybody. It's great. It's so great. His ego is so amazing. Woo! Woo! Love it. Billy Beard, welcome back, sir.
Yes, sir.
We got 3 minutes to go. You were talking to, I know you were talking to some of the press yesterday, and then we had an appearance of the Minister of Propaganda, Dylan Smith. I'm sorry, I said it wrong. Mark Evans. Sorry, I was a little Freudian there. Mark Evans came out. What did we learn there? It sounds like he came out with a papal white smoke. We're going to do this again?
Yeah. I had been talking to several reporters out in the lobby outside the room, and several of them know me, know my history with elections in Pima County and whatnot. So they kind of knew where I was coming from in terms of my criticisms of what happened on Friday. And one of them that I've known for a while and has been out for a while, going through all of the problems, the lack of enthusiasm, the lack of taking all of the election concerns, not just from 2020, but years past regarding Pima County and how it does elections, and that no one in Pima County in the history really takes things seriously to the point where they're actually there and actually showing any kind of concern about process. Mark Evans comes over and sees me talking to the reporter and basically says, we understand you've got some concerns. There's other people that have had concerns. I just got off the phone with Jan Lesher, the current county administrator, and we're going to do this again just to make sure we've got everything covered. His general demeanor was dismissive. General demeanor was he just saw a potential problem with me talking to the press and decided he was going to jump in there and show off to the press that they've got all these problems covered. He leaves, and I turn to the reporter and basically say, the general lack of concern about the integrity of elections in general was just encompassed by what Mr. Evans just said and did in front of both of them.
All right, Matt.
So you get Evans and Lesher involved and not Hargrove. Just want to point that out.
That's true, right?
County administrator and the minister of truth.
And none of the four members that supported this thing in the first place.
Correct. So
I don't want to lose track of something here that before the break. The problem they've got is they do not understand what they have set themselves up to do. They don't have enough staff that have been trained to handle the special conditions, much less the amount of time it's going to take to process these. Because by their own admission, their new process was going to eliminate the need for special conditions and provisional ballots.
Correct.
I want to remind everybody listening, what happened in 2016 that caused all of the problems up in Maricopa County, forced the then sitting Republican Secretary of State to basically be canned in the primary, and the longtime Republican recorder in Maricopa County to be canned as well.
Say it.
They had drastically cut the number of places you could vote. They underestimated the number of people that were going to show up and vote, and the result was a disaster that made national headlines.
Sounds like that's where we're headed. Remember, Lavoie Hurley on this show a few months ago said, run concurrent systems for a couple of cycles and then go from there. That was what we should be doing. So
their mock election should be mocked seriously. I would encourage everybody listening to show up this Friday at 9 a.m. at the Abrams Building to try and do this thing again and prove they don't know what the hell they're doing.
All right, Bill, thanks for the reporting, man. I appreciate it. Brother Joe coming up next.